Prepare yourself for invasion. This is Indie Invasion.
Hey guys, what's happening? Welcome to another episode of Indie Invasion. Again, we are here with another interview with, as you know, another independent game developer. And today, I have, as always, my partner in crime, the instigator of many things,
no,
the causer of trouble, and the guy who sucks me into games, as I happily do to him as well, Huffman Worldwide. Say hello, sir.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Ian?
And we have Ian McDonald with us today of Flags of War and Funky Skull Games. He is the designer, creator, and you are the sole source of Street Wars, are you not?
Yes, just me.
Okay.
And a disapproving wife as well.
And a disapproving wife. I think our pile of miniatures, we can all feel that sometimes, the disapproval. Only not really. Eric and I were talking about that last night. We are very fortunate that our spouses humor our plastic and metal soldiers that we like to push across the table and occasionally make pew-pew noises in the process of doing that.
We've all done it.
Oh, yes. Sometimes you just have to. We play Wings of Glory here as well, the World War One, and it's almost mandatory to make the airplane noises as you're flying along. I think it's almost mandatory. At least once during the game you have to. So, Street Wars NYC, the 1970s street gang skirmish rules. How in the world did you come to that? Which, incidentally, I would like to point out, although we are putting this up as a video too, so I'm going to show it, but for those of you who are listening on audio, any game that has a skull with an afro as the logo deserves to at least be checked out. Just going to throw that one out there, that alone. So how did Street Wars start?
Well, it was obviously a big influence from a number of movies. Movies being like The Wanderers and The Warriors being the main ones. I enjoyed that. They were made way before I was ever born, but I grew up watching them and enjoying them. They're very cult type movies, and from that, I wanted to start gaming it. I've been a gamer for many years. The Flags of War was running for a number of years way before I even started Funky Skull. And I was saying, well, there's actually not a set of rules out there that kind of meet the market that I actually wanted with the whole kinetic violence. There's obviously urban street fighting games, but right, they were very heavily influenced on guns, which I didn't want. So I wanted to go down a more a fighting game that had more like baseball bats and sticks and knives rather than
more,
just
a little more brutal.
Yeah, and you know, everything's about getting in close and having a good dust up, as you'd call it.
Well, it's fantastic. Now, Eric hasn't had an opportunity to play, but I've played quite a few games and taken it to our group for gaming. And in addition to those bats and knives and brass knuckles, my favorite one is that you can find a brick.
Yeah.
You just find a brick and let's get it on with the brick. So that that in and of itself is pretty cool. So I do want to touch, though, on Flags of War, your other company, is older than Funky Skull Games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did that one start to? We'll tie in a little bit with that one just so people can kind of get an overall picture of.
So with Flags of War, it was that I came to gaming quite late on in life. It was roughly about the time that Games Workshop brought out the Lord of the Rings stuff. So I started getting into that when they started.
You did come in late.
I'm 36, so I was still late teens maybe when all that started. Okay. And then my dad's like an amateur historian, so I was brought up all my life learning a lot about Scotland's history, world's history, a keen interest in military history, and I started painting historicals. And I needed flags, and some of the flags that I actually wanted weren't available commercially. So all I did was start drawing some flags, and I used to have a blog and about them on there, and people would go, oh, can I buy some of them off you? And I'd be like, okay. So all I started doing was putting them on sheets and selling them on eBay.
Okay.
And then it just kind of, it kept on growing and growing. And now I probably, I don't know how to do a comparison, but I think I do probably have the most amount of flags commercially available on in the whole hobby.
Well, I have, of course, been to Flags of War just out of curiosity. I'm not much of a historical guy, but, you know, if I'm going to go to Funky Skull, I feel almost obligated to at least go check out Flags of War, too, as to, you know, because I like, we like to support stuff. So, Eric, how about your first game question? You want to throw that one out there?
Yeah, I mean, Ian, you mentioned Lord of the Rings. So usually I start off with asking people what kind of got them in the gaming hobby. And you mentioned Lord of the Rings and a little later, but at that age of the being a teenager, that's usually a lot of people, sometimes that's when they get into the gaming. Yeah. Was there any other influences you had to get into the gaming hobby? I mean, was it like the painting aspect of it or the hobbying aspect of it?
So it was a painting aspect more so than anything. When I was a kid, as I said, I used to go to historical events. My dad was a reenactor. He used to do English Civil War reenacting. And I used to go to these events with him, and I used to pick up like 54 mil plastic figures, the old Tempo figures. Don't know if you, do you know the Tempo range?
Don't know the Temple range, but no 54 mil.
Yeah, so it was an old soft plastic range of toy soldiers, basically. And they used to be in Napoleonics, and I used to buy them, and I used to paint them really, really badly with old Humbro, old Humbro enamels. And from there, when I started the Lord of the Rings thing, I actually found the Foundry website, Foundry Miniatures.
Okay, yep.
Okay.
And I went, oh, I'm going to get some of these. So I bought some of them. And from there, I just started, I contacted some guys in Glasgow who ran the Glasgow War Games Club. And from that, it was, oh, I'm maybe interested in a little bit more about gaming. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, come along. And from that, I kept on painting, building up armies, and just continue. You can probably see behind me. That's my
I got two of those in the basement full of stuff.
I've got boxes and boxes. I was putting stuff up in the attic today. Just boxes of figures that just don't get used. And I'm like,
no one listening will be able to relate to that statement at all. So I think we can also all relate to that enamel paint on our first miniatures, because I remember mine. It was Grenadier Dungeons and Dragons models, which Peter actually mentioned the other day. The old Grenadier D&D ones, I was painting those. Grenadier and Ralph Partha, painting those with tester enamel paints with what I swear was a house paintbrush, because that's compared to what I use now and what I know about painting now. That's how it seemed. The big old enamel pots and giant paintbrushes, no primer, no flocking.
Oh, yeah, same. I was trying to paint. So the Tempo figures, they were Napoleonics, and the British ones were red. And I would try and paint straight on to the red.
Oh, yeah.
I paint green, you're like, this isn't working.
Why won't this paint cover? I just don't understand. So, well, okay, so tell us about Street Wars. Give us what would be your elevator pitch. What, describe it. You're selling it. You regularly demo the game, because I keep up with where you are and what you're doing with the game and everything. So how do you, tell us about Street Wars, the game. If you want to talk mechanics, feel free to ramble at your leisure.
Well, the whole idea, as I said, the influence came from movies, and from the movies gained an interest of the actual gangs in New York in the 1970s, and that's where I wanted to focus solely on. At the period, some of the things that were happening in New York, like, was one of the scenarios I actually do was a big influence on it, and I don't know if you played it, was in 1977 blackout in New York. and everyone going crazy. And that's one of the scenarios that I love to play within the game, because you start off the game with cops. But that was what I was trying to do with the game, was get across what the actual gangs were going through in New York at the time, because there was so much happening in terms of the poverty and everything.
Right.
They didn't have anything else other than turning to the gangs. No, a Puerto Rican kid's not going to get much of a chance of getting a job, so he probably turned to the gangs.
Right.
And that was what I was trying to do, and bringing in, not trying to make it like and glamorize it at all, but it try to show that it is quite brutal. I'm not giving a like for like example what these guys went through or anything, but it was just try to show you can have a bit of fun with this kind of period, and play a skirmish war game with it.
Sure, because it's really not any different than any other skirmish war game that emulates a historical period, because they're war games. So whatever period you're trying to establish in, there's someone's dying. So I agree. It's not belittling what it was. It's emulating it and putting it on the tabletop. And my experience too, and you kind of had the reverse with your dad taking you to the reenacting, but a lot of times people take the opportunity to learn the actual history about a game if it has a real historical reference. For me, when I play, because I love to play narratively, it could be something totally fantastic, but if it just hits on a few, you know, even distorts the history a little bit, it still makes me want to go and look at what the real history was about that and go, I want to check that out. So I think that there's a positive to that, because people that want to be too politically correct could, for lack of a better term, get their panties in a wad.
I have had it a number of times with the game. When I first started the game, we had some of the miniatures, and because of the way they were sculpted, some people were, because they were black miniatures, people were saying, oh, they're very caricature.
Right.
And I was like, well, I've actually based these on images of actual gang members, because there was a French photographer in the 70s actually went to the gangs.
Right, and said, I've seen those pictures.
Yeah, basically said, can I spend some time with you guys just to get a flavour of your life? And a lot of the figures I actually base is on some of these real guys. So that, like, the Ghetto Lords are pretty much solely based on images of all of these gang members.
Right.
That I've kind of went, right, I'm going to kind of cobble all these guys. They're a Puerto Rican gang, so I've went through some of the more famous gangs, like the Ghetto Brothers were one of the most famous Puerto Rican gangs at the time. They even had a Puerto Rican band.
Nice. So are we going to get the Puerto Rican band in the game too?
I don't think so.
All right, now I'm going to have to go find some appropriate models. I do have some Motorhead models, but they're a little large.
Yeah. That was one of the gangs that I've actually spoken about doing, was like a punk band with an influence on like the Ramones.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The characters from the Ramones, and having a couple other ones, maybe like the Sex Pistols, and have them as like some sort of New York underground punk band in the 70s. Obviously, it was a big thing in New York at times.
Yeah. So. All right, when's the Kickstarter?
the next one is actually going to be the Italian gang.
Finally, that's who. Ever at the very first poll you put up for who the next gang is, that was me that voted for that one.
They're already sculpted. I've got the masters and everything for them. I need to. It would have been, the Kickstarter would have started for that already if it hadn't been for COVID-19 delaying the delivery of the Ghetto Lords. Because I've got them there ready to go, along with another surprise gang that I've not.
Surprise.
Yeah, I've got a gang that I've always wanted. But I kind of got into trouble with some of the similarities between them in another movie previously.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Fair enough. You got anything, Eric? Because I got some more if you don't. What you got?
Go ahead. Shoot off another one.
All right. So what are you currently playing?
What am I currently playing? Star Wars Legion.
We're hearing that a lot.
Yeah, we're hearing that a lot. A lot of people are really liking that.
Lots of them getting painted.
All right. What faction are you playing?
Well, most folk that seem to play at my club always want to go the Imperial, so I always get left for the Rebels. I don't mind going to the Rebels. I actually quite like the Rebels, but a lot of the guys I seem to game with all have a darker side and they all want to go the Imperial, so I'm just focusing on my Rebels.
They do have cookies on the dark side, as the internet has firmly established that there are cookies on the dark side.
But yeah, I'm doing some terrain building for Street Wars.
Okay, well, interesting. There's a guy to talk to right there.
Yeah, well, no, his terrain is fantastic. Yeah. If you guys out there haven't seen it, I highly encourage you. There's lots of pictures of it in the fan group, the Street Wars fan group, to go check it out. It's got the elevated A-train. It's a sweet board. Nice.
I'm working on a new park.
Like a city
park for them to have a fight in.
Okay.
It's nearly completed. It's just sitting over on the table.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Now, can you walk us through a little bit of the game mechanics for Street Wars? Just a little bit of a flavor for it, which I would like to preface it with my absolute favorite part of the game, which I fail miserably at. Tagging stuff. That's my favorite part of the game. I fail miserably at it. I swear, if you had an actual movie scene of my guys trying to do it, they're holding the spray paint can backwards, and it's just their spray. I just need to go over all my models and put a wash on their face and they spray painted their face.
Well, some of the games that I like playing were using a lot of the polyhedral dice, and that was kind of the route that I liked. I wanted to go down using the characteristics for each of the characters to be a dice value. Right. And you've got a target number is pretty much the easiest way to go with it. For yourself, Eric, the way that the game will start is the usual initiative. Everyone rolls for initiative. And then the way you activate your gang until you actually lose the initiative. So you're activating based on your stat, which is actually called your funk.
Yes.
Which no other rule set actually has. I'm kind of
right.
It's just activation.
One right there. It's like, I got funk, baby.
Yeah, it's just activation, but it's called funk in my rules. One of the ones that it seems to annoy a lot of people is the fumble of trying to carry out the activation. Doesn't matter what game we play, we always seem to have this one character that just doesn't want to play the game. Because you work through each one of your characters rolling your activation. If you get four or more on your activation, the character will activate and can do... Ultimately, it's ultimately two actions that your character can get to do, but it's we always say it's just a movement and do something. So you can move and do something. But if you roll a two or a three, all you can do is actually walk. And the reason we introduced that was so that the game continues to go and it doesn't just become a stalemate. But with the funk, you actually don't move. You don't do anything and you actually lose initiative. And that's what I'm saying. We'll have this one game and we always seem to have this one character that just wants to sit there. He's like,
I usually have three or four that fail to activate successfully because I play a couple of different games that use the mechanic is different, but the result is the same. You're losing the initiative, and I inevitably lose games, not because I deployed wrong, not because I built the wrong list, but because I simply can't activate my army, whatever it may be. So, but it does make for good stories. It does make for really good stories.
Yeah.
And then the main one that everyone gets involved in is a bit of the fighting. And it's always opposed roles for the fighting. I don't always like the I attack, so I get to attack and you just get to defend. ultimately your character has a stat for fighting, and it's versus the other person's stat for fighting. So you kind of have to be quite clever and determine who you want to fight who. And
someone might have a D10
for
their fight, and you have a D6, and it's kind of like me walking up to Arnold Schwarzenegger and picking a fight in that particular situation. Probably not the greatest idea I've ever had.
You don't want to be a lowly street soldier and attacking a big warlord unless you're going in with a lot of guys. But as I say, opposed roles, whoever comes out of there is the winner of the fight, and they get to determine how many hits they can actually put against the rival and see if they can cause any damage. The way that hits work, if you actually hit someone, we've actually got life tokens, as William will tell you, it's little knuckle dusters.
Yep.
For every hit that you take, you ultimately drop all your dice stats. So if you've got a D10 for your fighting, you take one hit, you would be a D8 the next time, unless you can get rid of that wound. But you, as I've said previously, you've got a funk, and the funk almost acts as your number of lives as well. Mm-hmm. Because if you take a hit, your funk will drop down too, but your funk cannot drop below D6. So if you are a D6 to start with and you get hit, you're ultimately out. That's your character's gone from the game. Whereas your big guys, who are your warlords, they'll be D10s. They'll drop down to a D8 and then a D6, and then they would be out. Right. So they get ultimately three lives they've got. So it's kind of things like that. As William said, there's some ways to find bricks. You can search for bricks and bottles to throw them. You can go tagging on walls. There's certain scenarios.
You mentioned, Mac, that you can rummage through a car and find something in there
there's a number of objectives in the game. So when you set up the scenario, you'll go through the objectives, and each person gets a shot of placing the objectives on the table. There's loot objectives, there's flash objectives, and there's weapons objectives. So the loot objectives either get placed in a car or on a building, so like an easily accessible point of a building, so like a door or something. So you can either break into the car, or you can break into the house, or you can actually get civilian loot objectives, so you can actually rob people for the loot. Okay.
The way that works for me is I end up with one guy standing by a car trying to get it, or tries to mug the wrong person.
Well, when I play the game, I have a number of civilian objectives on the table, and we've got one that's actually an old gran, a grandmother.
Oh, and
she's on the table, and she's lethal. Because if you try to rob a civilian loot objective and you fail on a one, so you fumble on a one, they actually fight back.
When we demoed
the game at Salute, it was actually a guy from New York that was playing the game.
Oh no.
And he tried to get the objective and he fumbled. And when you're fighting the gran, she's only got like one D6 to fight, and she's got one hit. If she beats you, she's got one hit, and he lost every single dice roll against this little grandmother.
He should have known better if he was from New York. Don't mess with that grandma. She's got something up her sleeve or in her purse.
So it's those are the objectives of the game. The new set of rules I'm working on, there's actually different bonuses for collecting loot objectives. Okay. So I'm working on an updated version of Street Wars for a different period.
Okay.
I think you know it.
That kind of brings me into my next question, Mac, is what's in the works for Street Wars, Ian? I know you guys mentioned Kickstarter, and you just mentioned some new rules. So
yeah. So
Let the secrets fly.
So Get Lords was the last Kickstarter we did.
Okay.
To fund it. It was just a sole gang to fund them, along with a couple of figures, single figures that you can use within the game is like hired hands. The next part is actually going to be the Italian gang. These are supposed the when, as I say, when we started investigating some of the things about the gangs, I was finding information on gangs that were like young. Young mafia gangs.
Yep.
They were okay. Like low level street hoods that would build up to working, end up being in the mafia, or there were young kids that were part. Their fathers might have been part of mafia. So this was the whole idea of the Napoli boys.
The mob was doing that all the way back to the Five Points in New York. That's where Capone was a member of the Five Points gang back then.
So this is the idea of these guys is that they're going to be a young mafia gang, and a lot of the characters are based on younger versions of movie gangsters.
Okay.
So you've got like a young Joe Pesci, you've got a young Robert De Niro, young Al Pacino kind of thing. Nice. And they've all got lovely, nice silk varsity jackets.
Of course.
So that's their thing with a nice, they call it the Napoli Boys, and their logo's a beautiful red rose.
Something
a bit sinister about it.
Oh, definitely. I love it. What else though? You alluded to some now updates, expansion, what?
So originally it was going to be an expansion. It was going to be a supplement to Street Wars. And what actually came about was I was thinking, well, Street Wars has been out for a number of years now, so I might as well just make these another full rule set rather than just a bolt-on. And they can stand... probably about 80% of it is still the same Street Wars NYC, just with a number of updates. And the period is actually going to be 1850s New York. So basically, and the name is Street Wars Battle of the Five Points.
Ah.
There we go.
See, I kind of knew that. I was kind of going somewhere with that. I don't miss the little hints and things that you drop in there, the pictures that you drop in the group. I see those.
Are you able to see that?
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Nice. Little Bill the Butcher homage there. Little nod to Bill the Butcher.
So that's going to be the cover.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Very cool.
Try to work out how I get my screen back now.
You can just do one sec. There you go. I got you.
Yeah,
I got your back. I have all the control as the host. So
I'm not actually releasing figures for this set of rules. It's just going straight to... potentially going to print. I need to still think about if I want to do it. My whole business is round out of my house, so space can be a bit of an issue.
Sure.
I don't know if you can see, but it's like boxes and boxes of all where I store all the miniatures that I'm selling. So it kind of gets taken up, and having boxes of rule sets within the garage, I'm kind of like, oh, I'm not too sure. Right. So it will definitely be going to PDF. I'm still to decide. I might do like a Kickstarter to say a one-off run of printed sets of rules.
I gotta have a printed set.
But I'm not doing figures for it because I've been working closely with Lon at Brigade Games in the US. Yeah. He's in New Jersey, and he already does a set of figures.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff that would just fit right in.
So I've got all of his range of figures, and I've been painting them all up. And the idea is that I'll be building a 5 points table to display within the rules, and it'll be all his figures.
Okay.
It saves me having to invest thousands of pounds on a new range of figures.
Yeah.
If he's already done it.
Now, will that be accompanying you places like Salute and such, where you'll be running Street Wars and the 5 points game same time? Yeah.
So we will be doing Salute again, and then I'll be working on more sets of rules. There's another couple more that's in the pipeline, just different themes that I'm wanting to kind of cover. I'm doing a historical set of rules.
Right.
very similar mechanics, kind of try to keep that as my core theme, and then building around that with the fluff of the different periods. And one of the set of rules I'm working on, I don't know, do you know much about Scottish history in terms of a group called the Border Reavers?
A little bit.
Yeah. So they were basically gangs back in the late 1500s, but they were basically families, and they would just go about robbing each other.
That doesn't sound like a game. I don't know what is, right?
It's just they became very, very famous because they were highly skilled horsemen,
right?
And they would do these crimes, going on to the family's land and stealing their cattle and taking it back to theirs. And a lot of these it was quite brutal at the time when you read some of the books, but not much different from like sort of Wild West and some of the gangs that would have been going about then. Very similar idea. Hmm. Oh, just going about robbing each other. And I was like, and it's just like, yeah, that's just street wars in a different time period. So makes sense to actually do it.
The history of mankind.
Yeah.
There you go.
Lastly, the other theme that I'll probably be doing after that is 1980s. But like try to concentrate more on like Miami with all the like
Crockett and Tubbs, a little Miami Vice action going on.
Yeah. Cause I'm in the UK, we get to watch a lot of stuff on Netflix, and we watch a lot of things like Narcos and stuff. So you get to see all this stuff about Colombian gangs in Miami and DEA agents. And I'm like, yeah, I could go down a different route. And know how I said at the start, I wanted a set of rules that it wasn't heavily focused on the set, no guns and stuff. This would probably be the set of rules that I would say this is a gang set that focuses on more of the guns. And the opportunities are endless. No, I'm friends with Stuart at Studio Miniatures. I don't know, you're probably seen some
Studio
of that stuff.
Miniatures, yeah.
Yeah, so he does a lot of the zombie stuff, but he brought out like sets of like Sons of Anarchy, bikers, and LA street gangs and stuff. And I was like, no, Mexican gangs and black gangs. And I was like, yeah,
I have the Mexican gang.
Yeah, could do a set of rules on the Bloods and the Crips or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fun stuff because like we said earlier, people are going to get offended about something because they're going to find something to be offended about. That's just the world we live in today. But every single war game that touches on anything historical.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It's just like a snapshot of a time period of what was going on. So this was what was going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I try to do. I try to keep it as close to the realism and be respectful to what was actually happening and not be disrespectful, or I try my best not to touch on things like racism. I definitely try and stay away from that because one of the gangs I did was a skinhead gang, but it's actually a mixed race skinhead gang. That was the route that I went down because I'm not doing some sort of racial route. I'm not going down that way.
Try
to show as real to as possible, but being respectful and maybe coming from a different angle and try to almost make it a little bit fantasy.
Yeah, well, I mean, ultimately, people have to understand that they are games. When we play World War II games, somebody's got to play the Nazis.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise you're not having very much fun with your infantry on the table and nobody on the other side. It's just not, the game's not nearly as fun when you don't have an opponent to overcome. So I personally, I really like the game. I've taught a lot of people how to play it, and it's very easy to play. The tiered dice system.
Yeah, I like the dice system. That's really fun.
It makes it easy to keep track of what's going on. As far as, you know, all your dice go down. That's pretty easy as you move through the game. Apparently, though, tagging stuff is very complicated for me.
you need to get your character that's good at it. That's it.
I can't seem to find him. He's probably it's probably my warlord who I don't really want to waste action doing it. Right? I want to get in there and start busting some heads instead of that. In fact, the last game that we played, I'm pretty sure that my whole gang got handcuffed because you haven't played yet, Eric. But you can get busted by the cops and handcuffed right there in the middle of the board. So, and as a lot of the people that play with me know, I had to get all the tokens. I think I ordered 3 sets of tokens. So I've got plenty of tokens to get everybody's gang arrested.
I do like the who called the cops mechanic.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of background on that, Eric. There's a mechanic, and everything that you do on the table affects the chances of the cops turning up.
Okay.
Right. So at the end of every single turn, you'll roll for the cops, and they'll turn up on it. It's a D10, so they'll turn up on a 9 or a 10. But if you were to break into a car or a house that can set off alarms and stuff, or you end up killing somebody, you can, that increases the chances you get, okay, you get modifiers to that D10, and that will then tell you the cops turn up. And when the cops turn up, it can turn up in anyone's end. It doesn't matter who's causing the most problem. They can turn up in either deployment zone. They have no, they don't discriminate, they're just after anyone. And they'll always try and arrest. And if you defy them arresting you, they will actually then try and shoot you. So,
and you have your brick.
Yeah.
You have your brick.
You've got your brick. Brick and a baseball bat.
So you can imagine how that's generally going to turn out, and generally not too well. So yeah, that's about how it goes. So Ian, tell our listeners, where can they find Street Wars? Where can they pick it up?
So just on my website. It's not actually on sale at the moment, because of everything that's happening with COVID-19. Right. I have opened up my Flags of War business again, so I'll probably open up my Funky Skull. So it's at funkyskullgames.com. Okay. And we've got all the gangs that we've currently got on there. We've got 4 gangs at the moment. And okay, the rule set and the objectives and a couple other single figures that we've got that can be, as I said, we call them MVPs, the most violent players. Okay. They're like the hired hands that you can actually build as a character, and they can help your gang. Yeah. A lot of the time they go down like a more vigilante theme, and they can just be hired for your gang for that one fight.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I do have stock. That was why I shut the Flags of War down, because there was no stock. My caster, they were going into lockdown as well.
Yeah.
So everything. It just seemed as though my Kickstarter finished, and then somebody just decided to take the pack of cards and throw it all up in the air and see what happens. And I was like, oh, great. It's really bad timing. But I've opened up that. I've been selling lots of miniatures this weekend from the Flags of War. So I probably will open up my Funky Skull as well.
Okay. Excellent. That is fantastic. I'm glad to hear that. Well, so go
before
ahead.
We get out of here, we got one more question.
Yeah.
Ian, what's your favorite faction in the game? Do you have a favorite faction or a favorite model?
My favorite faction is the Black Cobras.
Okay. You've mentioned those ones to me before, Mac.
They're led by a Jim Kelly lookalike. So
I don't know. He looks an awful lot like somebody I saw in an 80s movie.
Yeah, that's Jim Kelly.
Show enough.
Oh, show enough.
Show enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Forgot about Show Enough.
Oh, yes. He's a fantastic model. They are outstanding.
Not enough people have seen that movie, unfortunately.
Well,
that movie was, it was one of those 80s movies.
I love them.
I just love these really bad movies.
As campy as it could possibly be.
So, as I've said, so the biggest influence is probably one of the, for me, was the Warriors, and I'm like a huge fanboy. I don't know if you're able to see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at that.
Look at that. That's cool.
So that's my tattoo. Are. And I got to meet them a couple of years ago when they came to the UK. They did like a convention, or a conclave, as it's called, the UK conclave.
Nice.
And I got to meet a lot of the characters, a lot of the actors that were actually in the movie. So,
wow, that's really cool. Was Street Wars out at the time?
So that was when I actually had the cease and desist for the first time when we tried to release it. So the first time we actually tried to release a game and call it New York Bop. and it was closed down by Paramount. It was because there was two guys in the US that were making a board game for the Warriors, and I think which is absolutely fair. Though those right. guys had the license, and they didn't want me infringing on that with any characters that kind of looked like theirs. So I don't disagree with what they've done, but it closed me down, and I started up a Street Wars, and I moved away from the theme of the Warriors ultimately.
Right. Well, I mean, it certainly worked. I was just thinking it would have been really cool if you could have gotten the Warriors to sign a copy. Yeah. That would have been pretty
I've got lots of memorabilia that I got them to sign. I didn't get them to sign Street Wars, though.
Well, maybe they'll come back and you can get them to do that.
Yeah.
That would be pretty epic. That would be pretty cool.
They were meant to be coming back for the 40th anniversary, but it didn't happen.
Well, you never know, though. I mean, anything is possible. They could come back. You never know. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in, and Ian, we are thrilled that you joined us, that you took time out of your busy COVID schedule of all of us sitting at home doing nothing to join us and share a little bit about Street Wars. And if you guys are listening, I encourage you to check it out. It's a fun game. It actually plays really quickly. It's easy to learn. It's not an expensive game. You don't need a whole lot of models, and it's definitely a different spin on our typical skirmish games, because there's not shooting. You're just knuckling down and brawling it out in the streets. So it is a lot of fun, and it's got some very unique mechanics, like tagging stuff, my favorite part. In fact, one thing I need to note, there's even a token, a specific token for when you successfully do that. Haven't used them yet.
I'm intrigued now. Successful. I'm intrigued now. I want to go up against Granny and see if I got what it's got.
Oh, I'm not going up against Granny. I know how that'll go for me, the way that I roll in games. I'm not doing that. That is not happening. But don't forget, guys, that you can check us out on our YouTube channel, which is Coastal Con. You can check out the Facebook group for Coastal Con. You can also check out the Facebook page for Indie Invasion. And as always, you can get our podcast on Google Play, Spotify, iTunes, Pocket Cast, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Podbean, and TuneIn. And yes, I am going to say every one of them every single time, not just all of your regular podcast locations. I'm going to say them all, because doggone it, it took me a long time to get them on all of them.
Set those all up.
That's right. It took me more than a couple of tries to get everything sorted out. So, Ian, if you'd like to say goodbye to our listeners,
well, Mac, just thanks for having me, and thanks for you too, Eric.
Thank you.
Check out the website. Check out the group on Facebook, where we put the updates on the various gangs that I'm painting or the terrain. Try to continue to build the community for the game and see where it goes.
And of course, we'll throw all the links up for the website and the Facebook group in the description of the video. And Eric, what do you have to say as we head on out from yet another successful interview?
Well, guys, remember, you're playing these games to prepare for the invasion. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.